these are the kinds of things that creep in and they don't jump out at you, which is why you often need a concerted effort to stop and take a look at what you've got. In many organizations, the process is less about a technology change, more about getting all the players to agree on a process to move forward.
Frankly IT, straight talk for IT leaders everywhere.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to Frankly IT, episode 72. So we're approaching year end, often a time when budgets are under review, looking back on what you spent and ahead to what you'll have in your bucket in the coming 12 months. And especially this year, when COVID has wreaked havoc on so many business plans, revenue numbers, and budgets, you might have an eye right now on trimming some IT costs. Interestingly, we just did a survey of IT leaders, and we asked them, among other things, how they're measured and evaluated in their role. And the number one answer, with more than half of respondents saying they were measured on this, was the total cost of IT. We'll be publishing the results of that survey in the new year, by the way, and I'll let you know when that's available. In the meantime, budget is clearly a topic that matters to a lot of you. So I reached out to John O'Shaughnessy, an infrastructure architect and senior consultant at Insight, where he spends his time helping companies figure out exactly this, where they can save money and be more efficient with their IT spend and delivery. John has 25 years of experience in IT as a consultant, technical services lead, and network manager, including a few stints with MSPs. Today, we look at five areas where you can pare back your IT budget with a minimum of pain and suffering.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avik Networks.
Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Jennifer.
We're going to talk today about budgets, IT budgets in particular, and cost-saving measures. And this is an area that can get very painful for IT professionals a lot of the time. They're often forced to do more with less. The cuts can get quite painful, but we're going to look at a way to trim costs from an IT budget that aren't painful. So I think this is going to be very valuable, especially because a lot of companies right now are taking a hard look at their operating costs across the board. It might be because of COVID. It might be because of follow-on economic impacts of COVID. It might be preemptive, shoring up resources so they can be in as strong a position as possible going forward. But whatever the reason, a lot of companies are looking at their budgets, including IT budgets, and looking for ways to be more effective with the money that we're spending. And, you know, short term, you can look at, let's put off this big project or this big purchase, but that's a temporary fix. That's only going to take you so far. So what we want to look at are, what are the more sustainable changes? You know, where are the areas where money can be trimmed for long-term savings, as I said, without that pain and suffering from anyone in the organization, including IT? And this is one of your specialty areas, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. We spend a lot of time helping organizations look at what they're doing with their technology. And one of the key areas these days in particular is how to save money. And so we've come up with a number of different ways that we can help them look at their environments to come up ways that make sense for them to help save money, both in the short term and in the long term.
All right. So we're going to look at a handful of those areas today where IT managers can rearrange, optimize, change, otherwise work some magic to uncover cost savings. And the first one we're going to look at is technology bloat. Now, this actually has a fancier name than that. It's called application rationalization, but I'm a fan of plain language, so I'm going to go with technology bloat here. So what's the opportunity?
The key thing with dealing with application rationalization, or getting rid of technology bloat, is the fact that within IT, oftentimes systems will grow and systems will come in the door, and multiple systems will be in use throughout an organization. And no one takes the time to decommission old systems. So the process is really a matter of looking at what you're using, looking at it across the board, and then rating them. What is really needed? For example, do you have two HR systems? Maybe it came about because of a merger of two organizations. Is the organization at a point where you can decommission one of the systems? And these can be great ways to save money.
Yeah, we've actually been undertaking this at Ovik and have uncovered a great deal. And there were a couple of different ways that we did that, looking at not only were there things that we weren't using anymore, but also looking at the ones that we were using. And, you know, did different teams had different accounts? Could we consolidate our accounts and then get more economies of scale? Were we at the right tier, the tier that we bought a year ago? Did we still need that number of users? Did we still need that number of storage? Maybe we could, you know, go down, or we can move up and again get those economies of scale. And the other thing that we did successfully was we took a look at the products that we were paying for annually. So normally we would make one big upfront payment for the year. And we talked to those vendors about spreading those payments over a quarterly schedule, which really helped to sort of flatten out our budget a little bit.
Absolutely. And again, these are the kinds of things that creep in. And they don't jump out at you, which is why you often need a concerted effort to stop and take a look at what you've got. In many organizations, the process is less about a technology change, more about getting all the players to agree on a process to move forward. But absolutely, you can save money by getting rid of unused applications. One of the other things that goes along with this is billing type errors. Say, for example, you've grown over time and you've added locations and you've got wide area network circuits into these locations. Perhaps those have changed over time. How is the billing being handled? Perhaps you've even closed offices and yet you're still receiving bills for those offices. So take the time to get involved in more of these processes that are often outside of IT to see what you can do to help lower costs by getting rid of services that you're not even using anymore, but you might still be paying for.
I think there's also an opportunity to talk to stakeholders in the business about why did we buy this tool in the first place and do we still need it for that? So I think there are times when we need to buy this tool because we need this reporting functionality. But now a year later, we've stopped producing those reports, but nobody remembers that we've stopped producing those reports. So asking, do we actually still need this tool that we thought we were using? Is there a tool that we already are paying for that could cover that functionality just as well or in a different way? Or is there a free option that we could switch to because we only really need like a small fraction of the functionality that we're paying for?
Absolutely. And we see that all the time. And one of the additional benefits is with fewer tools, you can take the time to have more people become proficient with those tools. So you're actually getting more value out of the tools that you do continue to use.
And the thing that I like about this cost savings area is it truly is painless for the people involved. Like there's no pain in taking away a tool that nobody is using anyway, or in right-sizing a subscription.
Absolutely.
Now, the next area to consider for cost savings is data management. So what are some things to look at here?
The key with data management is this concept that you're storing more and more things, and therefore the cost of that storage goes up and up. So for us, when we look at data management, we're looking in particular at unstructured data. And unstructured data, an example would be photographs or perhaps audio. You're storing things that are beyond the simple name, address, phone number, description of an event, say in an insurance company's database. But you're now adding photographs of a car accident. And that, of course, takes a lot of storage. And if you don't have processes in place to control the amount of storage, either by perhaps compressing images on the uptake or deleting images after a certain period of time, you're going to end up with storage costs and storage needs that grow up and up and up that may not be really having the value you think after a long period of time. So for us, it's talking about where these needs have come up and are there processes and policies around them that can be put in place to help control that storage, control that growth. Perhaps, for example, you can take your images and compress them a little bit so that you don't need a full 12 megabyte image for every picture of a car. Or perhaps you have a process where after 2 years, for example, the images can be removed, even though you're still keeping the much smaller text-based fields related to an event in the database. So again, it gets back to the processes that you can use to help define what you need to save and for how long and that will save you some money.
So this is really about documentation, understanding what you're storing, what's taking up all the space, and then having the policies, as you say, documented about how you process that data and how you store that data.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Now, what about legal considerations? Because often there are, you know, GDPR, there might be HIPAA requirements where you have to save data in a certain way or save it for so long.
That's another great example. And those absolutely come in as key things that cause data to be saved and stored for long periods of time. What we find interesting, though, is that at many clients, we're told when we ask about something, they'll say, oh, that's a legal requirement. We need to save that. And then we say, well, for how long? And they'll say, well, we're just keeping it forever. So we'll take that opportunity to try to connect back through the organization that came up with the requirement. In many cases, it is a legal organization. And if we explain what our needs are in terms of trying to gain efficiencies, they'll take the time to find out what the particular requirements are. And in many cases, we're able to go back with the IT department and say, you know, this thing that you said you're saving forever, you really only need to save for 7 years. And it may seem like it's still a long period of time, but if that organization has been around and saving this data for 25 years, to cut out a big chunk of that is going to be a huge savings. And it's something they can put in place going forward. So their increase in data will slow over time, therefore saving them a bunch of money.
Now, I think you've mentioned that clients of yours have saved upwards of 25% on their data storage costs. Is that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Again, it's often a big first hit where they can cut out data that is decades old, perhaps. But then even going forward, the amount of increase per year is much, much lower with these new practices in place.
All right, let's look at the next area, which is optimizing cloud costs.
Cloud cost optimization, again, very popular these days. Lots of people moving workloads to the public cloud because everyone has heard how easy it is to get into public cloud, how it's fast, and how it's low cost. And those things are absolutely true. But like everything, if you're not optimizing what you're doing, your costs are going to grow at a faster pace than they may need to. One of the key things with cloud services is that they're often charged by the hour or by the minute. But to gain those savings, you need to design your systems to be able to perhaps be shut down in off hours, or in terms of a scaling or elasticity point of view, have a system that can grow automatically as needs increase, say retail on a big holiday. But then as the needs decrease from users not using the system, have resources automatically turn themselves off. That way you'll be saving money. So again, just because the vendor provides wonderful tools that will allow you to be very cost effective, your organization needs to take the time and figure out how to design systems that can work in those boundaries to take advantage of those savings.
So this is really, again, about understanding the needs and requirements of your own organization and the workloads that you're processing at any given time and building policy and automation around that.
Absolutely. And, you know, a simple example is many people will take a virtual machine and move it from an on-premises virtualization environment into a public cloud. And that's great. But over time, that isn't on its own going to save you money. You do need to take the steps to say, I'm moving in a server of size X. I now realize I only need half X, or I double it up during the day, but I'm going to build in a routine to shut it down at night. So you need to take the time to figure out what those processes are, get them in place, and get them tested. And then similar to what we already talked about, watch those bills as they come in from the public cloud providers. Make sure you're not paying for an unneeded firewall that you may have put in place for testing, but forgot to turn off. Things like that.
All right. So now let's look at automation. I mean, this is the holy grail of a lot of IT teams, is just taking away all the manual grunt work and having the machines do as much as possible. So tell us about this and some of the opportunities available here.
The key thing with automation is this idea that you can save people time by not having to repetitively do tasks. And that in itself is a great cost savings. What you want to do, though, is figure out where the biggest opportunities are. Don't take time to automate something that you only do once a month. Take the time to automate those things that you do multiple times a day. A simple example is deploying a virtual machine and configuring that virtual machine. So one of the big cost areas that we see is IT often treats every system as a customly designed thing. And instead, the better way to approach it is this concept of t-shirt sizes. Create a small and a medium and a large system that can meet at least, say, 90% of your organization's needs. Automate the process to spin up and or spin down those types of systems, and then work to create a process that works in your organization so people can request a system and they can easily determine if it fits small, medium, or large. The system can be technically spun up in a very short period of time. You can have security practices and policies already pre-approved for your small, medium, and large systems. Therefore, you've sped up a process, you've made people happy, you've made this process less likely to have error because you've automated it, and you're saving money by not treating each and every one of these activities as a custom activity.
The last thing on the list as an opportunity for cost savings is updating governance. How does that help?
It may not sound like a way to save money, but what we find is a lot of time in IT is spent chasing fires. And some of these fires are brought about by security issues. They're brought about by, say, rogue IT organizations trying to do their own thing. And if an organization takes the time to build policies around how they're going to operate, what their security practices are, how they're going to offer really good services, so there is no need for an organization to create rogue IT, that way you're going to save time. And time, of course, is going to save you money. So that's why we often bring this one up. It doesn't often seem to fit, but it's an area where, again, if you spend the time building up the processes and the procedures around governing what IT does, that way you can build a stronger, more efficient IT organization and save time, which is going to save you money.
And do these tips apply both to large enterprises and smaller companies?
Absolutely. Many times when we talk about processes and procedures and documentation, smaller organizations feel that it's not important to them. You know, if you're dealing with 15 people, you can quickly take their input and act on it. And while that's true, many times the actual impact to an organization by saving a smaller dollar amount in a small organization actually provides larger savings overall because it's a bigger hit than it might show up in a big organization. So while the dollars add up to be bigger dollars in a large organization, the impact of dollars saved in a smaller organization really may be more beneficial to that organization.
Now, I'm hearing a common thread across all of these, which is really understanding the specific needs of your organization and documenting those. So documenting workload, documenting policy and procedure. That, if you haven't done it or haven't done it in detail before, can be very time consuming. So if you're an IT leader and you've been tasked with quickly finding some cost savings, where would you recommend they focus?
Of the things we've talked about today, really the big dollar savers are going to be in the first areas of application rationalization. And it's going to get you those quick hits. And there's also the one that you brought up. Can you talk to your suppliers about potentially renegotiating how you're paying for things? Those two are probably your biggest quick hits to save big amounts of money.
John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Really happy to have been here with you today, Jennifer.
That was John O'Shaughnessy, infrastructure architect and senior consultant at Insight. I'll put contact info for John in today's show notes at avic.com/franklyit/072. The show notes also feature a time-stamped outline of today's content. So if you want to go back and review anything, maybe refresh your memory on one of the cost-saving areas we just talked about, the show notes are the place to go. That URL again is avic.com/franklyit/072 for episode 72. Our next episode drops on October 29th, and it's going to be a fun one. We've got something a little different planned for you, and I don't think you'll want to miss it. So if you're not already subscribed to Frankly IT, hit that subscribe button to make sure you get new episodes as soon as they're released. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks. Own the network.